My loves, let me ask you something. Are you ready to dive deep? Or do you feel like you need some time away from the people, place, and things that make up your current life? It could be both. You're like, I need to get the fuck away from everything and everyone. And I'm also ready to take my spiritual path to the next degree, honey. Okay? Regardless of what it is, I got you. There's two legendary, amazing, delicious opportunities for us to practice together in person this year. The first one is at the iconic Omega Institute in New York, upstate New York. And the second one is in Mykonos, Greece, honey. And both of these retreats are going to be a combination of the spiritual dance practice, also known as the SAT method, also known as the spiritual workout, and Dharma talks. So let me break this down for you. The SAM method, for those of you who are like, what the fuck is that? It's a practice. It's an experience. It's a performance art healing experience that I created that combines ecstatic dance, meditation, breath work, and mantra. And these four practices are here to activate, amplify, and energize the four qualities in your heart, according to Buddhist psychology, which are love, compassion, joy, and wisdom. So during the retreat, And upstate New York is 5 days, 6 days, 5 nights. And Greece is 8 days, 7 nights. I'm going to tell you more about this in a second. But during the retreat, we're going to dance twice a day, okay? And dance as much as you want. Move as much as you want. But the whole purpose of the movement is for you to actualize what you learn during the theory part, where we're going to sit around and I'm going to explain to you through the my interpretation and my understanding, my studies of Buddhist psychology. I'm going to give you all that I know during that dedicated, retreat time away from the people, place, and things that make up your current experience. You're going to be devoted towards your heart, towards your liberation. Therefore, you're going to be able to then actualize that which you learned during theory in the dance floor, and then you're going to be able to bring that all back into your life once you leave the retreat. Going to retreat has been one of the best things that I've ever done for myself. It has changed my life. And you've heard, if you're a listener, an avid listener to the podcast, you've heard me talk about going on retreats over and over again. If you've read my books, you know that going on spiritual retreats is how we take our practice to the next level. Oftentimes, we do need to take time away from people, place, and things that make up our current life in order for us to truly discover who are we really and what is it that I want to do in my life. And maybe you're like, I already know who I am and I'm already happy with what I'm doing in my life, but you want to actually bring more joy, more bliss. You actually want to be happier, more playful, more lighthearted, lightheartedness into your life. These retreats are for you. You can either come to one or you can come to both. It doesn't matter. The point of the SAM method, the spiritual workout, the spiritual dance practice, is for us to say fuck off to people that says that when you are a disciplined spiritual practitioner, you become more serious. That is a lie. Okay. The truth is, the deeper you become, the deeper you enter into the spiritual path, and the more you're disciplined about your spiritual liberation, the more playful and lighthearted and more smiles and more humor and more laughter your life becomes filled with. Okay. So click the links in the show notes, and I hope to see you in upstate New York at the iconic legendary Omega Institute. Let me tell you the dates. Upstate New York is June 19th. Through the 24th, okay? And Greece is October 8th through October 15th, okay? And if you have any questions or concerns about the retreats, when you click the link in the show notes, or so you can visit my Instagram bio or my TikTok bio to get all the details for the retreats. If you have questions, just go onto the retreats website and click over there to find out how you can talk to the retreat producers. They're both amazing powerhouse companies that are producing my retreats. They'll be able to help you with anything you need, okay? I love you all so much, and I cannot wait to practice with you and get free with you. Love you. Peace. Hello, my loves, and welcome back to the Spiritually Sassy Show. The following podcast was recorded live on Quilt. You know, I think first things first, it's important to kind of lay out what some of the definitions for the word karma are and some of the definitions for the word dharma are. You know, the word karma can sometimes be translated as action, can sometimes be translated as cause and effect, can sometimes be translated as the natural law of justice. And the word dharma could sometimes be translated as the learning, the lesson, the practice, the high truth, the clearest, most cosmic, profound wisdom, and oftentimes could be translated as your soul's purpose, your contribution to the world, right? So with this in mind, right, when we say karma or dharma, what we're really saying is there a karmic pattern repeating itself on the loop? Am I learning something from it? Have I learned something from it? Have I engaged with this hypnotic pattern in a different way, in a way that I've learned something? If I learn from this karmic pattern, then if you're learning, then it's become dharmic. Then it's liberatory. Then it's revelatory. Then it's heavenly. Then you're actually changing the course of that karmic pattern. But oftentimes, you know, when I bring these two words together, karma or dharma, it's because we're unaware and we're unawake. I don't even know if that's a word, unawake, not awake around the fact that we are just repeating these karmic loops. We're just repeating these karmic patterns. You know, we're constantly making the same mistakes, you know, and I want you to continue to make mistakes because that is the truth of the path of liberation. That is the truth. Someone who is actually genuinely healing is someone who is continuously making mistakes, someone who is continuing fucking up, but they're learning something from it. And those who are unaware that they're making the same mistakes are people who are just afraid of vulnerability. They're afraid of authenticity. They're afraid of actually not being part of pretending culture. They're scared of actually like saying, I have fucked up and I have, you know, harmed people and I've harmed myself. Unless you have the audacity to say these words, I've harmed people, I've harmed myself, and I'm aware that others have harmed me too. If you're not aware of the trifecta of forgiveness, right? If you're not aware of the trifecta of karmic imprints, you know, and how we are harming each other, harming ourselves, and that we are harmed in that process too, then there's no dharma in that space. It's just a complete karmic misery loop of a self-fulfilling prophecy of more pain, more suffering, and more despair, and more confusion, right? So when we speak about karma and dharma, it's about having the awakefulness, the mindfulness, the awareness to recognize that every single thing that we think, we feel, we say, we do has a consequence. Now, how are you operating with these consequences? How are you orienting your life with these consequences? Are you operating with these consequences in the way that heals, in the way that awakens, in the way that not only awakens and heals you, but in a way that awakens and heals not only you, but other people? The other people, when the other people comes into the picture, that's when it becomes dharmic. The dharmic source of expression is when there's a tie-in to altruistic motivation, when there's a tie-in to not being only so oriented towards only your well-being. Me, my needs, my life, me. But there is an openness to an understanding that unless it's tied to the alleviation of suffering in the lives of others, then it's not dharmic, right? So a lot of people live in a karmic pattern of complete selfish expression because they're not awake to the fact that it is through learning from their lessons, right? So first you have to be awake that you make mistakes, and you have to be awake to the fact that your mistakes harm yourself and your mistakes harm other people. And that's okay. That's part of the gig, right? Pain is part of the gig. But it's unless we radically learn from every single mistake we make, then There's no way for your life to be a meaningful life, you know? And they say a meaningful life has two things tied to it, is scientists say this, and I also wrote this about in my book without even knowing this. But a meaningful life is a life, and a dharmic life, right, which is a meaningful life, is a life where you have figured out what brings you joy, and that joy becomes meaningful, becomes purposeful, becomes dharmic when it is in service to other people as well. It's not only making you happy and joyful, but it's actually benefiting other people, right? So if we're not awake to our mistakes, and I'm going to keep going back and forth between karma and dharma to get you to sort of dance the dance of these two words and understand these concepts, and then start to have unwavering faith that each and every single time I commit a mistake, and I learn from it, and I actually truly actualize the wisdom from it, and I actually pivot and I transform myself in the ways I speak, the ways I think, the ways I feel, with that transformation, then you've entered the dharmic path. You know, the dharmic path is a path of continuous learning. And the karma will never stop, because we're continuously creating, we're continuously doing. But there's a way to create karma that's dharmic. You know, there's a way to create karmic seeds that are dharmic in nature. Does that make sense? That's an interesting way to put it. You know, I'm actually hearing myself say this for the first time. But every single thing you think, say, feel, and do has a consequence. And those consequences are seeds in the garden of your life. So those seeds can actually be karmic in nature, which is perhaps will have the orientation, the expression of more misery, more pain, more suffering, more confusion, or the dharmic expression of the karmic seed, which will be liberatory, which will be revelatory, which will be healing and altruistic, you know? So this is the dance that I want us to start thinking about and dancing, is like, are the ways that the karma, is the karma that's currently ripening in my life, is it supporting my dharmic path? Is it supporting my soul's purpose? Is it supporting the awakening of the world? Or am I just in a perpetual cycle of misery, never even considering the well-being of anybody else outside of my own little circle? That is you perpetuating a karmic cycle. That is you being tossed around by the karmic patterns that you're in. To wake up out of a karmic pattern, you have to enter into a cycle of forgiveness. You have to recognize you've caused mistakes. Mistakes were caused to you, and that you have harmed other people, and other people have harmed you. And that in that process, the wakefulness comes with like, pause. Wow, this is happening again. I'm being cheated on again. I'm being fired from a job again. Friends don't want to talk to me. I'm alone. Like, if there is a repetitive experience in your life, this is the perpetual spiral of unwholesome karma prevailing in your life. You know, and wholesome karma is dharmic karma. Wholesome karma, beneficial karma, is dharmic karma. It's a dharmic life. It's a dharmic path. Right? So a lot of people are unwilling to look at the destructive patterns that are prevailing in their lives. Why? Because it's easy to blame. It's easy to play the victim, and it's easy to blame. And also, the natural law of karma says that everything that's on your path, it's there because you put it there. And I know this is difficult to swallow. I know this is kind of like the high truth, you know, if it's there, it's because I put it there. And you didn't put it there in this lifetime, perhaps. Perhaps it was your previous expression, the previous iteration of Sa, Sa as we know it now, but the previous expression of this experience that you call Sa in a previous life has created the seeds that are now blossoming in this life. You know, we come into life with a lot of seeds already in the garden of our mind. Some seeds beneficial, some seeds harmful, some seeds skillful, some seeds unskillful. And through our experiences, through the ways that we interact with ourselves in the world, these seeds grow, blossom, and sort of erupt into massive trees. And that's why some karmic patterns last an entire lifetime, you know? But the real choice of change becomes, am I learning from every mistake? Am I learning from every challenge? Am I actually
transform me through every step of the way. You know, I spoke about it today on social media, about, you know, sort of missing the old version of me, sort of feeling like I missed the old version of me, because it was there was a previous season that was a lot of ripening, a lot of blossoming in my life, that I was utterly and profoundly joyful, and I was just like waking up ecstatic and excited about life. And I'm in this kind of transitory season in this moment in my life where I'm kind of waiting for the next version of myself to arise. I'm kind of waiting for the next version of me to meet the current version of me, and then to take over the ship and kind of guide us into the next. And, you know, it's the season, it's the karmic season that I'm in. It's a season of exploring grief. It's a season of exploring different parts of my mind, different aspects of my shadow, different aspects of my psyche. But here's the thing. What makes the season dharmic is my choice to learn and grow and to contribute. Learn, grow, and contribute. If I would be dwelling in the grief, if I would be dwelling in the grief that I'm no longer who I used to be, that I'm actually in this transitory place, no revelation would arise. No inner divine intervention would take place. The season will not be dharmic. So the more we do well without a dharmic lens, the more we do well without a dharmic lens. What is a dharmic lens in this context? Is the ability to see lessons, the ability to see blessings, the ability to be open to know that there is more to this experience than what I can see with the eyes in my face. That is the dharmic orientation into a karmic explosion, right? One may say, oh my God, you're in deep grief right now. That's true, I am. But am I in suffering? No. Am I in pain? Yes. But am I in suffering? No. That's the difference too. A karmic repeat is painful and, you know, creates suffering. But a karmic eruption that is dharmic, it's painful, but there's lessons and blessings instead of suffering. Are we communicating? Is this landing for you? So with every single mistake and every single thing that we think, that we feel, that we say, that we do, has a consequence. Are those consequences leading us to our the expression of our soul's purpose, which is a purpose of altruism, of liberation, of kindness, of service to others? And on the other side of karma, are the things that are erupting in my life right now, or the things that are being destabilized and are the shifts that are taking place in my life right now, am I actually learning from them? You know, or am I actually just going into a deeper spiral of confusion? Because every single moment that we dwell in confusion, that has a consequence. Every single millisecond that we dwell in anger has a consequence. So when we think about that, that's us looking at our karma through a dharmic perspective. That is us understanding that everything has a consequence, and these consequences can be beneficial or unskillful. These consequences can be harmful or benevolent. You know, that is how we understand the natural law of justice, this natural law of cause and effect that we can't see with the eyes in our face oftentimes, right? Because things are kind of happening in the unseen world, you know, the garden of our mind, we can't see with the eyes in our face, but we can experience it with the eyes of our heart, right? And then we can only see the full blown, we can only see the karma when the wheels are falling out, right? We're not paying attention to all the little bits and pieces of life communicating to us that things have to change, that we are in a karmic pattern of misery, of despair, of confusion, of harm, of suffering, right? I often use the metaphor of the car. Like, we're on the highway and the oil change is going off, the tire changes are going off, the engine changes is light, like all the things in your car's dashboard are going off, but we're not paying attention. We keep going. We're producing. We're capitalistic about our existence. We're desperate to show the world that we are worthy by production, by accumulation. That's a karmic loop of despair in the disguise of capitalism, right? So, and all the things are flashing on your dashboard. We're not paying attention. So the only time that we're actually paying attention to the karmic loop that we're in is when the wheels fall out and the car flips on the highway. And then we find ourselves, you know, with the car flips upside down. And thank God we're wearing your seatbelt, right? And in that moment, what happens? Some people learn. Some people truly take a pivot in their lives and they say enough. They take care of their body, take care of their mind. They start to be of service. They start to change the whole game. They stop being so selfish. That is you stepping into your dharmic path, your soul's purpose, which is to contribute. You know, or other people, that happens and they need it to happen 10 more times for them to wake up. Or some people will not wake up. That's okay too. You know? I think it was Wayne Dyer who said something so simple but so profound. He said how they respond to you is their karma. How you respond to them is your karma. And that's so true. And that goes for every inner experience, for every single time you have a feeling of despair creeping in and arising. How you respond to it, is it dharmic or am I responding on a karmic way? Karmic way would be I'm actually, you know, sort of creating this philosophy on the fly here for you. You know, because I landed at this knowing in a masterclass that I was teaching, and it made a lot of sense. And now that I'm teaching to and explaining this to you guys right now, I feel like unskillful karma, we'll call it karmic loop, we'll call it karmic eruption, but skillful karma, beneficial karma, good karma, we'll call it dharmic expression. We'll call it dharmic karma, right? So that's how we can kind of put these sort of create separation to sort of land at this unified system of understanding, right? So we need to wake the fuck up to the fact that we are here, and I use the word, we are sort of these insatiable beings. We're whores for contribution, and we're whores for liberation. You know, but are you actually becoming free? Are you just becoming high? That's the difference, right? And Ram Dass said, he said so eloquently, he's like, he said, I'm fetching the quote in my mind right now. He said, I'm paraphrasing, of course, every time you hear me quote a saint, I'm always paraphrasing them. He says, it's like, do you want to be free or do you want to be high? And we have to choose to become free. If we are on the path of freedom that I constantly over and over and over again speak to, your freedom is not only your freedom. Your freedom is dharmic, because it's altruistic. It's in service to others, right? When you awaken to a dharmic view, to a dharmic perspective, you recognize that everything you think, do, say, feel impacts the world. How you relate to it impacts the world. So am I going to relate to it with more suffering, more pain, a punitive, punishing way? Or am I going to relate to it with the lens of lessons, of lessons and blessings? You know, in an educational lens, if you're going to explore your life through a lens of lessons and blessings and actualization and forgiveness and liberation, then you're walking the dharmic path. And it doesn't need to look like you becoming a wellness coach or a yoga teacher or a meditation guide or a spiritual master. It could look a lot more from the inside out, and as it should, actually, capital S should. Be experienced from the inside out. It's people in the presence of those who are living in their dharma know. It's, you're all of a sudden, you're invited to take a deep breath. You know, that closed, shallow clavicular breath that you bring breathing because you've been locked up in a karmic loop of despair, of confusion, of misery. All of a sudden, when you're in the presence of those who are living their dharmic path, when they're living from an altruistic point, from an altruistic perspective, from an altruistic expression, all of a sudden in the presence of those beings, you are invited to take a deep breath without even having to say, how about a deep breath, honey? How about a deep breath, sis? None of that happens. All that communication is nonverbal. So that's why I'm saying there's no need to express your dharmic path, you know, by doing something, by producing something, by creating a career around it. You know, yes, you can, but the career won't, the expression of that doesn't need to look like someone who works in wellness in the spiritual space. I've said this a million times, but the artists are the ones who are conveying the highest truth. They're the ones who are inviting us to engage in the ineffable truth that can't be spoken with words, that can't be written in books, that can only be experienced with the depth of our being, the depth of our being, right? So we have to sort of pick, you know, our desires creating unwholesome karma, or they're creating the conditions for a dharmic path. You know, and the only way to understand this is by pausing, by breathing, by actually taking a spiritual inventory of your life, by genuinely saying, everything that's happening in my life right now is here because I put it here. I may not remember, because we all get a flashed and socialized into amnesia as soon as we enter life. So we don't know the contracts, the karmic contracts that we've made in our previous lives, right? So we have to just pause and look how life is communicating to us. If there's resistance in that direction, then know that that's not meant for you. Stop knocking on that same door. There's a door that's going to be unlocked and actually opened for you to walk right in. You know, when there's resistance, listen, learn. Listen and learn. I'm actually learning so much from life communicating resistance to me right now. So my wish, my prayer to you is that you actually wake up to create a dharmic life, a life of contribution, a life of divine intervention, a life where you enter a room and everybody can take a deep breath because you are non-verbally inviting them into a deep place of relaxation because you are living a dharmic path. You're constantly alchemizing the suffering in the world. You're constantly recognizing that you have the resources to breathe in the suffering of the world into your heart and breathe out the antidote. You have the capacity. So my prayer is that we recognize that our heart is a resource of healing, universal healing. Our very own heart has an unconditional well of healing resources. And I pray that spiritual heart that perhaps may be asleep to you, that is always there, always available, you wake up to it. That you wake up to the fact that you have a mission in life, that you have a dharmic path, that you didn't just come here for no reason, that life is not meaningless. I hope that you wake up to the truth of who you are, this wise, compassionate, loving, blissful being. And my prayer is that you wake up to the patterns of misery that are looping in your life right now, and that you're able to face them straight on and say, it's here because I put it here. Let's go. What's here for me? I pray that you stop demonizing your demons. I pray that you are actually able to look at them in the face and say, what's here for me? How can this, for me, bridge the gap into for the world? My prayer is that you wake up to your altruistic intention, that you wake up to your altruistic heart, is that you recognize that it's in serving others that the missing pieces to your healing make themselves known. That is, in serving others, that God is back in the room. Listen to her. Listen to her. I pray that in moments of silence, you're able to hear the cosmic mother whispering to you. And that you're not afraid. That you don't become afraid of how inspired that whisper is. Like that. I'm Sadie Simone, and you've been listening to The Spiritually Sassy Show. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. And join me next Sunday for another Spiritually Sassy conversation. Thank you so much for listening, and I love you.